I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Boom, shake the room, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. A huge win for Forest and Erling Haaland cleaned up. It's Monday, 6th of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushin Hantharaja.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. A lot of you enjoying the bank holiday, I would imagine. Well, here we are. Yeah, at work, hard at work, Jim Campbell.
Down ready, the podcast minds.
Indeed, ready to entertain you on holiday. Hope you're having a lovely time.
Digging for content.
Farming for lols. It's
ruining our lungs in the process. Are you happy, listeners?
I think they're very happy. And I think that we are very happy too, because it was a great weekend of footballing action. A lot of highlights to be had. Jim Campbell, what was your highlight?
I'm going to start with my favourite player and his daughter. Jamie Vardy obviously celebrated Leicester's title win and promotion at the weekend. Brought his little daughter up to the microphone and she had this to say.
Olivia, tell him rock, paper, scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors, fuck off!
Don't know the context, don't need it. Jamie Vardy is undefeated.
How old do you think she is?
She's, what, 4 or 5?
Yeah, and told, what, 30-odd thousand people to F off.
Already. She's going to be a great.
Yeah, definitely a chip off
there
the
are some,
block.
There's some chaotic DNA in there, isn't there? There are some chaotic genes there.
There is, yes. My goodness.
I mean, that's just, what is she, with the best will in the world,
yeah.
What is she going to become?
Yeah. what chance does she have?
Olivia, well, Olivia, Alafia. Stop it.
The thing is, do you think he...
So cool.
Do you think he primed her to say that? Or did he just know that she would say something like that? Because imagine your average four-year-old, average child, average person, if given a microphone in front of 30,000 people, when they obviously they just know you through association or whatever, would just be very, very nervous or very stuttery, wouldn't know what to say. You certainly wouldn't go in as bold as brass like that.
But I think there are examples of sports stars' kids being quite bolshy like that, because they end up being around that environment of a changing room and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And they're a bit more confident. Like, there's... I probably can't use this example, but there are other examples of people's kids, like let's say, coming up to opposition players and grabbing them by the shirt and threatening to beat them up when they were only 6 years old because they watched them on TV having a go at their dad.
Wow.
Amazing, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure that you meant for us to kind of analyse that, Jim, but...
We got a bit deep there. I'm sure she's going to grow up to be an incredible person.
Yeah, let's just hear it again.
Tell him rock, paper, scissors.
I think she's younger than five.
Look, to clarify, as far as I'm concerned, the more Vardys, the better.
Right.
And they can do whatever they like.
Yeah. Clan Vardy versus Clan Rooney in the future. It's going to be big.
Also, that's right. Again, why don't we delve deep into this? They clearly have family games of rock, paper, scissors, and they all end in fuck off.
Yeah.
He's taught them that early.
True. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
True. Vish.
My highlight of the week goes to the Birmingham City fan who, after they invaded the pitch when their relegation was confirmed, scored an absolute banger from about 40 yards. And I'd like to lean on a tweet from Kobe Budge, who said, "Professional football struggled to get free kicks over a four-man wall at times, but this fellow has just pinged one over an 80-man wall after 10 pints. Fair play."
It was a glorious clip.
Absolutely astonishing. There's a guy with a really heavy Birmingham accent in, like, who's either taken the video or stood near someone saying, like, "That's the best thing I've seen all day." It might even be the best thing I've seen all season. God.
I mean, might we remind everybody, the Birmingham City got relegated.
Yeah.
So when they ran onto the pitch...
It's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of, I don't know, is it like a goodbye championship? We'll hopefully see you soon. But a lot of people on the pitch, and as you say, this bloke rifles one in. But the best thing is that everyone runs over to celebrate with him.
It's so many people, though.
So the one thing that if you're, you know, in that situation, when you're a steward, you're obviously fearing like, God, this is really going to kick off. This could get really nasty.
Yep.
And then you see that and you kind of think, right, going forward, if there's ever threat of anything, just put a couple of balls out on the field and they will entertain themselves.
You're absolutely right.
We have a football in the office and we just can't help but kick it around.
Where is it, by the way? They've hidden it.
I think because we can't help but kick it around and the people underneath us complain.
I was about to say,
it's the same principle.
Those underneath us have probably taken it away or put a knife through it or something. No, you're right. When I saw that
clip, a knife through it, that'd be terrifying, wouldn't it? Come in one morning
and give it back to us.
Dagger through the ball.
Did you not have that when you were kids? You kick the ball over the fence, there would always be that miserable neighbour going, "Next time it comes over, I'm putting a knife through it."
Yeah, but they wouldn't hand it back with the knife.
Though. Yeah, because we never kicked it over again. We were, you know.
Oh, we were too good. We didn't put a play in the air.
Correct. The passing game was invented by the Scots, and that's and it carried
the combination game, it was called. And it was also known as scientific football, adorably.
We will get to what happened in the Premier League, everybody, by the way.
We're having such a lovely time on your bank holiday. You're not even out of bed yet. Let's have our fun.
I'll be honest with you, when I saw that clip of the Birmingham City fan doing that and everyone celebrating and what marvellous scenes, bearing in mind they've just been relegated after a very top-deserved season, and also seeing that Count Binface got 24,000-odd votes for London Mayor and beat the Britain First candidate, I thought, you know what? Still a bit of life in old England.
What was his policy? He was campaigning to get CFAX back.
Bring back CFAX, yeah. That was his main policy. There was also something about getting a very specific hand dryer moved.
Glorious. Absolutely glorious. 24,000 people.
24,000 votes.
Yeah.
Also, that's like a generational thing.
A football
40% voter turnout. 24,000 of them vote for that.
I love it. I absolutely love it. My highlight of the weekend was... Now, in the same spirit of when I mentioned about Coventry City's fourth being chalked off at Wembley, when Gabriel scored that goal for Arsenal... I just thought, again, I just love justice, Jim, so I'm glad it was ruled out because it was offside.
It was the only controversial moment in the game, as far as I remember it.
He was so gutted, wasn't he?
He really was. He was like, he didn't even get to the full celebration.
No.
He was making the sort of hand gestures
Oh, what? He's basically, like a lot of us, we want to... we want to enforce the tightness, if you like, or the lines of VAR when it suits us. Like, oh, come on, that was such a banger. You've got to let that go.
Yeah, sure.
But it doesn't operate that way, everybody, and nor should it. Right, let's go to the Premier League. We're going to start with Liverpool 4, Spurs 2. because it was a gloriously mad game. I mean, Liverpool could have been, I don't know, what, 8 or 9 up when they were 4-0 up, and then Spurs score a couple. So, yeah, an interesting finish to the game. But ultimately, a good win for Liverpool in Jurgen Klopp's penultimate game at Anfield.
Yeah, it was very emotional, as you'd expect it to be. And they absolutely flew out of the blocks, didn't they? Spurs still look like they're lacking a lot of confidence, obviously, because of the run that they're on. But Liverpool really took advantage of that and really sort of pressed their quality home early.
Which wasn't a given.
No, absolutely not. They've been in strange form as well.
Yeah, they have. And Mo Salah looked a bit more at the races in terms of energy. I mean, finishing-wise, obviously, he scored. Although there was that funny moment in the second half when him and Van de Ven, was it? I forget which Spurs defender it was, sort of both thought, are you going to tackle me?
Yeah,
are you going to score?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just gone wide, you know. So, yeah, it wasn't...
He also had a cross that looked like a shot that hit the bar in the first half. And obviously that always looks spectacular, but I thought, is this sort of a sign that his range is off a little bit? Is this you know, you sort of micro-analyse these things when a player like that is under so much scrutiny, but obviously he had a fantastic game.
Yeah, so I think, as I say, he scored. I think it wasn't sort of vintage Salah stuff, but he looked at the races again, and Liverpool did. And even though they scored 4 goals, I mean, they could have had a fair few more. But they look like they're going to finish the season strongly. I think that, I mean, my take would be that they had a little bit of a dip, and it kind of became apparent due to Manchester City and Arsenal being so good this season that they just all thought, it's gone, hasn't it? And then they're out of the Europa League, and it's kind of like, what is there to play for? However, I think they are still in the title. I mean, it would be extraordinary if they managed to win it.
But it's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
So,
yeah, you've got to do it, but also as well.
I think it's borderline impossible given the way Man City and Arsenal are both playing.
But I think,
I take your point,
the main point is, for crying out loud, finish the season well for the man in the chair, you know, because that is fitting. You know, you didn't want it to kind of end on a whimper and a few arguments and
and maybe like it was on a few of us, you know, non-Liverpool supporting fans of football, should we say, who wondered. Also, well, I'm speaking about me solely here, but I genuinely thought that the emotion of Klopp leaving would carry them through.
Yeah, I think a lot of
I don't necessarily think it scuppered it, but I think it's what's carrying them through this stage where they've basically lost the league to a point. And I don't think there's any shame in losing it to whoever ends up picking it up at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people did see it coming, the dip specifically, in terms of they were kind of getting away with it to a point.
I know what you mean, yeah.
And when push came to shove, they ended up losing it. I think also on the weekend you saw just how valuable Andy Robertson is.
Yeah.
You know Trent Alexander-Arnold's a brilliant player. Mm. Obviously, there was a period this season where he was playing midfield, but at right back, when he's basically operating as a winger rather than a wing back, you're like, you know, they're a different proposition altogether. But actually, you do need the counterbalance on the other side of Robertson doing exactly the same thing, because suddenly the pitch is so big that if you think of like the inside spaces that someone like Diaz and of course Salah can exploit, you know, that is invaluable. And it feels like Salah has had those opportunities, though. They feel like he has missed a fair few chances. He obviously had the injury after AFCON as well, but it's kind of I was a little bit sad looking at, obviously I'm not a Liverpool fan, but watching those scenes at the end of the game, I was a little bit sad, because you kind of think of what it could have been.
Yeah.
But then with the nature of those games, I suppose it reminds you as a Liverpool fan what he gave to you. Because when he arrived at the club, it was in a very different place to where he's leaving it now.
Yeah, hugely different. You know, I think Jurgen Klopp's imprint on the Premier League is up there.
Oh, massive.
I think you would say maybe only Ferguson and Guardiola.
It's going to be a worse league for his absence.
Definitely.
Doubt.
In fact, I say Ferguson. I mean, but actually, in terms of styles of play and influencing stuff, you might even have Klopp above Ferguson on that particular... In terms of style of play...
In terms of when he left... I'll give you when he left Manchester United.
Yeah.
So the style of play that Klopp is leaving is still there.
Yeah.
The style of play that Sir Alex Ferguson is most famous for wasn't there when he left United.
Yeah.
United weren't playing in that way.
Because, I mean, I suppose the game... I mean, his genius was being able to adapt.
Yeah, of course.
Either way, look, you don't have to have some sort of pecking order. All you need to say is that Klopp has been an absolute titan.
He's one of the defining managers of the league. Absolutely.
Yeah. And Vish is right. You know, the league will be a poorer place and weaker place without
well,
him.
Well, it might be. It's very likely to be. We don't know.
You rate Slot that highly?
Well, no,
do you?
But I rate Klopp that highly that I think he will leave a succession plan in place.
I see what you mean.
I think that he's built the nucleus of another team that look like they have huge potential.
Well, yeah, indeed. And also, you know, finishing third, you know, in a Champions League spot, it's not too shabby as well. And they've got some great young players coming through.
Yeah, this was sort of supposed to be a transition.
Well, that's
season,
it. You could argue that they've overachieved the fact that they're still in.
Jamie Carragher got a lot of flack for saying that a couple of weeks ago, but I think he's actually right.
Oh, he is right. Yeah, I think this is the point that kind of Vish was making, that when one says, you know, they're going to get found out is not the right turn of phrase, but
it's really difficult to not talk like a 14-year-old now, isn't it? Because
yeah.
of the language that gets used on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's a fraud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or you've bottled it.
You've found out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah. Well, look,
only one team can win the league.
That's absolutely what a nonce would say.
Your hard drive needs checking, saying that.
Yeah.
Oh dear! I mean, I was talking about the good young players they've got coming through, and I will stay on that point. I want to mention Harvey Elliott, who unpopular with the Fulham fans.
Do you know the story behind it? Because it's to do
it's
with his track.
Vicious.
It's bafflingly vicious.
It's not that vicious. It's still within the realms of being Fulham.
Harvey Elliott, he's a wanker. That's the rudest thing you'll ever hear any Fulham fan say.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, look, yeah, he may well not be offered a piece of Victoria Sponge when he comes to Craven Cottage, but it was to do with the transfer when he left. He left very young. I think, was he 16 or something?
Right.
But I think there was a suggestion that he could have signed a contract with Fulham, which meant Liverpool would have had to pay a few quid extra
right.
for him. And I think it was...
And they would have been...
But it went to a tribunal
that.
And it was all a bit, okay. you know, and yeah, and perhaps he made one or two comments.
What have we become where we're calling a kid who made a decision which resulted in him having to, obviously, presumably he wasn't there, but having to go into a tribunal calling him a wanker?
Well, I don't think it was for the wanker.
No.
That would be particularly...
You are accused, Harvey Elliott, of being a wanker. What say you?
I mean, I know we want to get rid of hate speech, but I mean, come on, you're a bit ridiculous here. But Harvey Elliott, though, played really well. And I said a couple of weeks ago that I think he should be starting every game now because he's got that intensity, he's got that quality that they need to keep it going. And it was a shame that he didn't start against Everton because I think they could have done with somebody like him in there. But a beautiful goal. And Elliott as well, I don't think we mentioned him around the time when we were sort of scratching our heads for potential replacements if those who will be called up for the Euros would be, you know, were injured and all that kind of stuff. He won't go to the Euros, but a future ahead of it, a bit like with Curtis Jones as well.
Yeah,
I mean, those two in particular,
very much so.
Wonderful young players playing for a huge club. They will be England internationals and they will get a fair few caps between them. But I love it the way he plays the game. Again, it's that intensity and the quality, and somebody who I just can't imagine him giving less than kind of 6 or 7 out of 10 every game. You know
and
what I mean?
It's the low centre of gravity that's always enjoyable in a player.
Yeah, of course.
And this is, the goal's been coming, isn't it? Because he hit the bar and the post against Atalanta. He's hit the woodwork a few times recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what a goal that was.
It was the pace and the whip.
And the fact that he was going away from goal.
Yeah.
So he had to come around it.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's a glorious story. I mean, if his trajectory, you know, carries on like this, then he will be a Liverpool player for a number of years to come.
Well, you know what you were saying about not talking about him for England? I think that's pretty reasonable considering game time. I don't mean injuries. What he's had when he's come into the Liverpool team is basically he's left-footed, he's sharp, he is tactically astute.
Mm.
So often he's been used on the right wing when they've wanted a bit of cover or protection for their right back. In pretty big games as well.
He can play in the three in the midfield.
Yeah, he can play the three in midfield.
Which I think where he's best, actually.
Yeah, sometimes he's come in as a bit of a closer and whatever, or, you know, when they're chasing a goal. But basically, he's had to fit in to a team full of superstars.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at someone like Kobbie Mainoo, who's obviously been excellent, he's basically walked into a team where there is a clear vacancy and it happens to be in his position. So I think like the misfortune is rather just like he's just playing for a better team with really good players.
Yeah, but as I say, in time it'll definitely happen.
Though, yeah, definitely. Have you seen him play when he's playing for the under-21s, England under-21s?
Yeah, well,
he bosses it.
Yeah, and they won the Euros, of course. You know?
Him and Rico Lewis just like laughing at their opponents. It's unbelievable.
So, you know, that's a sign of things to come, Jim.
Mm.
Start celebrating. Now, Spurs, they are on a stinking run, aren't they? Let's be honest. I mean, again...
Oh, you're taking this, Jim, are you?
Four losses in a row. They've really floundered right at the crucial point of the season. They are 7 points behind Villa. They do have a game in hand. You wouldn't put it past them to lose that one as well, the way they're playing. But... it's all kind of going wrong. I mean, they seem happy with the Europa League spot, is what I would say. However, Newcastle are only 4 points behind them. The way Newcastle play, and the Spurs, I would say on paper, have a slightly easier run, although they do have to play Manchester City still.
Yeah.
But the way Spurs are playing, like, it, to be honest, I think the conversation for me is now kind of shifted to, don't catch Aston Villa, because I don't think that's going to happen, is make sure you get that fifth spot, for crying out loud.
You say that, but they've got Burnley next. Obviously, they've got the nightmare of City after that, so yeah. That will be what it will be. And they've got their Sheffield United voucher on the last day of the season. So,
yeah, as they did at their Newcastle voucher a few seasons ago, Jim. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Sure. But I think Villa's trip to Greece might be hugely, hugely significant for Spurs, because Villa look absolutely gassed. Mm. Like, they could lose their next two games in the league, because they've just got very little left in the tank by the looks of it. So Spurs have to hold on to that hope.
They do, but Newcastle are at home to Brighton. You'd expect Newcastle to win that, despite Brighton obviously finally getting a victory. Away to Manchester United, and they're away to Brentford. They are three winnable games for Newcastle. I know that's there's a bit of assumption in there. As I say, Tottenham Hotspur now need to hold on to fifth space, to fifth spot. I think fourth has gone, realistically. And it's a shame for them, because they've had such a great season in terms of the entertainment and, you know, Big Ange being a breath of fresh air and all that. To miss out on fourth, which I'm saying I suspect they will do, you know, it's been coming. As I say, it's a bit of a shame, but get that fifth spot, because I think Spurs could win the Europa League next season.
Yeah.
Champions League, you know, okay, you just want to go as far as you can, but next season I think could be big for Spurs. You know, build on that, have a good summer. It's a shame it's kind of ending in this kind of fashion. And also make sure that Christian Romero and Emerson Royale are all nice and happy with each other as well.
Yeah, I don't know, let them fight.
See that, at half time they squared up.
I don't mind it.
Well, neither did Angie, said it proves they care.
Yeah, it happens all the time, doesn't it? It's like, you know,
does it happen
it's not
all
a big
the time?
Deal. Yeah, you see players on the same team having a bit of a ding-dong.
It doesn't happen all the time. Not in front of us.
It happens regularly. Ben White and Oleksandr Zinchenko did it earlier in the season. I'm sure there's other examples from this season. But I think Ange Postecoglou is right. It is because they care. I don't think it's any sign of any wider malaise. And sort of going back slightly to what you were saying about their season in general, like, it's progress from last season. It's a disappointing way to end it. Mm-hmm. But I think it has to be taken into account that Postecoglou is trying to implement a particular style that he's been mostly successful at, but most of these players aren't his players. You know, there are you know, square pegs in round holes in ways that will be more obvious to him than it is to us watching on. So I think when he's got another window under his belt and the players that he has, he knows who he can trust, who he can improve, and who's going to sort of be there for the journey, as he himself put it. I think, you know, it's still a season of progress.
Mm. What do you think, Vish?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, although it's just the two different halves of the season.
Yeah.
It's not even really a half, actually, because I suppose the, 25 games where they've underperformed since that 10-game unbeaten start. It's just, at the moment, it seems like you want to put it down to tiredness, and you want to put it down to a bit of fatigue, because it feels like they've lost a bit of their snap. Mm.
But they've not had European football. So,
no,
I mean, obviously it's
a
fatigue, like, it's a, you know, tiring season anyway.
Yeah, but... and just because of the nature of how they play. You know, we saw it a little bit with Newcastle, who obviously did have European football for the first half of the season.
A lot of injuries, though, with Newcastle.
Yeah,
I suppose you could say with Spurs.
But also, a decent amount of injuries with Spurs as well, especially to vital players who are almost triggers to, you know, the acceleration in their play. I think, like, someone like Bentancur, I find fascinating, because he feels like he really fits the mold. Mm-hmm. But then I think on the weekend he was asked to do a little bit too much. I think he does obviously need Maddison in there as well, who has gone off the boil. So I'm not too sure how they improve the squad specifically, and that's purely down to my ignorance about the players that they're going to go out and try and court. Because I think European football will help that, but at the same time, you might just also need European football to keep a squad happy. I think Brassel was saying that last week, wasn't he? About how important it is to have that, you know, to be able to give people game time in different situations.
Which is also lots of targets to aim at, right? Keeps everyone motivated.
Yes,
which
exactly,
is why, and this is not patronising at all, I really don't mean it like that, but which is why I think you, obviously, if you want Champions League because it's the bigger tournament, but which is why, though, but if they finish in that Europa League spot and they have Europa League football next season, I don't think that's a disaster or disappointment at all. I think that is a tournament which lends itself to everything what you're saying, and a tournament which they can go very, very deep in. But my point is similar to Liverpool in that I suspect with Spurs, when they lost a couple of games, they probably thought, oh, you know, I think we can't catch Villa. Fourth spot may have gone. There's that sort of, they're already fatigued and so on after a long season, as most of the teams are. You kind of then go, it's really difficult now. Fine. But now, for the last couple of games or three games, pick yourselves up again, as Liverpool are doing, and try and finish as strong as possible, because you've got to hold on to that fifth spot, because it's not a given, as I say.
Yeah. And you, I mean, you look at their squad, and their back four and goalkeeper are outstanding, really. I know, like, they've all...
You call Vicario outstanding, would you?
Yeah.
As a collective...
Could have done better on the Salah guard.
Oh, actually. Yeah, definitely, yeah. But as a collective, that five, I think they...
It's good.
Yeah, I think they're very good.
And
I think
better as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's fair about Vicario. I think he's just in bad form, really. Like, I think he was... I think the being out-muscled at corner thing is a little bit overblown.
It is.
He's just got far more attention now. Mm. So he's got more bodies to go through, which happens.
Well, it reminds me a little bit of when De Gea first joined Manchester United.
Yeah.
And
De Gea didn't start as well as Vicario, though.
No, and when I say... I don't think he's outstanding, which was the word you used.
It as a five, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I think he's a good goalkeeper for the record, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, he's the reason they can play a high line and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, kind of, they all feed into each other in one way. And
the reason...
Yeah. Does so much going forward, along with Poro as well. But I suppose it's just what is the tax with Postecoglou's technique? Like, is it about, you know, is it around fatigue? Is it around belief? You know, do you have to, we all know that you buy into anyone's ethos unequivocally, but does it take a bit out of you? Because by the end, you know, with Pochettino, like, affable guy, but by the end, they were kind of tired of the message, weren't they?
Yeah, but that was after a few seasons.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, you kind of, because of the job Postecoglou has to do, you end up kind of having to rush through it to a point, almost oversaturating your players with that message. So then do they get tired of it quicker? Like,
possibly. I mean, we should say, I think it's a very important summer for them. And I think if they get it right, I think next season could be really, really good indeed.
Vish, before we came in here, you were saying that obviously the season started really, really well and it's been, like, really, really good to look at. But ultimately, because of how it's ended, they're sort of a bit like David Gandhi with a micro penis.
Does he actually have a micro penis?
I've no insight on that, but it's just the comparison you made.
Did I make that?
Yeah.
Because I brought up David Gandhi.
Uh-huh,
have I brought up David Gandhi much before?
Outside of the studio.
Never in here. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate, isn't it?
Would you like me to move on to Manchester City, Vish?
Yes, please, yeah.
Okay. Manchester City beat Wolverhampton Wanderers 5-1. Erling Haaland scored four goals.
I avoided that score, went for dinner. About 2 hours later, thought, let's see how Wolves got on.
It was a crushing victory for Manchester City. Erling Haaland, I mean, I suppose one could say he responded to Roy Keane, and in another sense, he perhaps didn't. Of course, Roy Keane called Haaland almost League Two level at one point this season, and then he mentioned, didn't he, a couple of other things. And Haaland, when he was asked about those comments after this game, said, I don't really care about that man, so that's all right. But Roy Keane also had an interesting interaction with Dave Jones on Sky Sports. For those who missed it, this is how it went.
We saw Haaland yesterday being brought off, not too happy, behaving like a spoiled brat, but because they win the game, he scores goals, it's almost forgotten about.
Spoiled brat, that's all right if you score four goals, isn't it?
No, not really. No, because what? No, it's not.
All right.
you can hear the stare there, which is astonishing, isn't it? I feel like Haaland is on a really sort of quiet mission to destroy Keane's mystique and reputation, and he's doing it in a very clever way.
Mm. I mean, he was annoyed.
I'm going to take down everything you love.
Yeah. he was annoyed being brought off. Clearly, he wanted to join that select group of players who have scored five goals in the Premier League match.
But also, like... How often do we see that and posit it as a good thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's great to see that, you know, he still wants to play and, you know, it's disappointing coming off. That's exactly the kind of attitude you want from a top, you know, top flight player.
I feel like this is maybe possibly the third time we've had this conversation about Haaland being brought after scoring four and wanting the fifth.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, it might well be. I mean, you could see him annoyed on the bench and obviously Guardiola talks to him. But then in the post-match, he went, no, it was all fine. I wasn't annoyed. So that is how you do it, PR-wise. Boom, you get him in front of the cameras and it's cleaned up like that.
It's an emotional game, isn't it? You might be annoyed for 2 minutes and then it's irrelevant afterwards.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be happy with his lot, I would have thought, after that game.
Yeah, it seems funny now that we were even talking about the Golden Boot race on Friday. Just demolished the conversation.
How much a weekend can change things. I mean, yeah, indeed. He obviously got wind of everybody saying this and thought, well, let's put that to bed. And then he certainly did, you would say. He's now four clear of Cole Palmer, who was, of course...
Madueke and Jackson looking at that Wolves game thinking, oh, we're never going to get a penalty now.
So Manchester, I mean, they're just on the home straight, really, aren't they? They know what to do in this situation. Yeah. They're very much doing it with aplomb.
The thing with that is that, I mean, this is the eighth season in a row they've been in this exact situation. And obviously not all of the same players have been there, but the culture is there, that environment is there. And they're just completely used to this set of circumstances. And obviously last year there was more pressure on them because they had the Champions League to contend with as well, which obviously they came through. But this year, every game is like a warm-up for the FA Cup final. And it looks to me like they're not feeling the pressure because they are the ones who are applying the pressure.
Yeah.
It just looks like fun. They're just having a lovely time.
Well, indeed. I think that they know when to put the afterburners on. Mm. And we saw that last season was the epitome of that. First half of the season, it wasn't vintage Guardiola's Man City. And then, woof, you know, there they go and win the treble in one of the greatest ever seasons we've seen in this country. And this year, the only surprise is they're not in the Champions League. Quite frankly, I mean, Manchester United will, you know, be very wary of their opponents in the FA Cup final. All I'll say is that, but you know, the fixtures they have remaining. I mean, as you say, you know, they've got Spurs away, which on paper is their hardest game, but you know, this is not. I can remember when Everton played Manchester City. And it might well have been with against Brendan Rodgers' Liverpool. It was Liverpool and Man City going for the league. And I remember Everton, I think, went 2-1 up in that game. Ross Barkley scored a beauty. And there was a palpable sense in the crowd of, do we want to win this game, kind of help our rivals?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's petty or anything. That's just it's kind of natural. And that can filter down to the players.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to make. I think it's one thing in the crowd, probably another thing to the players, especially when you have to answer to your manager.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seemed to somewhat affect those Everton players, I would suggest. Just, again, like they're not sort of throwing the game. I don't mean that, but, you know, is it towards the end of the season if you kind of...
The focus is different.
Exactly, yeah. all that kind of stuff.
I mean, a lot has been made about this game, City going to Spurs. And some of the Spurs fans I know are convinced they're going to win and it will be the Spursy thing of helping Arsenal, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think that's very likely because a lot of the wins they've got over City have been because of Conte or Mourinho, players who can make a bit of an attritional game. Mm-hmm. And Postecoglou's just a bit more open, isn't he?
Possibly, yeah. They also host West Ham on the last day of the season.
Who owe their manager, shall we say.
Yeah, is that your plea, is it? But Jim, next up for Man City is away at Craven Cottage.
We'll be there.
We will be there. And that is the real test for Manchester City, I would suggest. Let's hope Rodri doesn't play in that game because he's now completed 71 consecutive matches without defeat, which is the longest unbeaten streak for a player in the Premier League. Although, a draw would be quite nice for
Would be ideal, wouldn't it? Maybe knowing that we're going to be there, he'll brick it and not turn up.
Rodri, he's a stunningly good player.
Yeah,
it's astonishing that he's not really doesn't seem to be mentioned in the conversation for player of the season mm-hmm. because he's just the absolute engine room of one of the great Premier League sides.
Yeah, I mean,
and that unbeaten run in itself is quite the accolade.
Obviously, Phil Foden won Football Writers Player of the Year, and you know that's fine.
That yeah.
Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I'm not going to go, well, that's a disgrace. But he's in there, and some of the stuff he doesn't do, it's the same old stuff. Some of the stuff he does in that position is maybe not as glamorous as.
But he
still scores the odd banger, though.
Yeah, he does the odd glamorous bit.
He will not be denied. I mean, hence, well, the Champions League final again. That is the epitome of that.
But there were some moments where, like, you know, maybe there'll be a situation where all passing lanes are cut off and he'll just be like, okay, I'll just beat two players and create another one. You're like,
which is why you can't
you're not allowed to do that.
No, which is why you have to take Spain, you know, for the Euros as a contender, purely because they've got, I mean, if it was just him on his own and a goalkeeper,
yeah,
he would still probably reach the knockouts. But yeah, so City going very, very strongly indeed, and Arsenal keeping pace. Well, I mean, Arsenal are top of the league, Jim, lest we forget.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the cruelty of it, isn't it?
a 3-0 victory against Bournemouth. I mean, I suppose for Arsenal, I mean, I have a slight feeling, as you know,
this Fulham are going to get something.
That it could be a draw, and it could go down to goal difference.
You think London's going to come together?
London calling.
As it did at the weekend.
As it did at the weekend.
Or last week.
And I think that goal difference could be key. So that Hwang goal for Wolves, Jim, you never know. You could be singing that man's name at the end of the season. But
then you've got to get through us on Sunday.
See, Arsenal do not have a good record at Old Trafford. We'll come to that on Friday, I'm sure. Mm. But, you know, that's a very tricky game.
Mm. But yes, of course, Arsenal beat Bournemouth 3-0. And again, that Declan Rice goal towards the end, it could be vital.
Yeah, could be vital.
Could be vital. Hey, I mean, they're talking of midfield players who are having phenomenal seasons. He's just a glorious
player. That's actually what makes me think of Rodri, because everyone's saying, oh, Rice is up there as a contender for player of the season, and rightly so. Mm-hmm. But Rodri's doing, you know, having a comparable season, really.
Yeah.
The chant is Declan Rice, we got him half price, and that is absolutely fair. I don't think I've ever seen a player with such a big price tag just make it irrelevant so quickly. He's been an absolute phenomenon.
Yeah, it's a fair shout. With that Arsenal-Bournemouth victory, there was a contentious decision, of course, where Bournemouth scored, but it was disallowed. Iraola was particularly annoyed about that. James Benj pointed out on X that Iraola looks like the villain in Spider-Man.
Yep. Alfred Molina,
you having that? Yeah.
Playing Dr. Octopus.
I still think he looks like a younger Paul Bearer, you know, the Undertaker manager's a touch of that.
What? No, just the same colour hair.
Do you think?
I don't see that at all.
I just like mentioning the Undertaker. Well, it's actually not the Undertaker, it's Paul Bearer.
Although, often smiles when it feels like he shouldn't be smiling.
Maybe that's it.
Concerning.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't really look like him, Vish. But patron subscribers on the Ramble Discord suggest that he looks like me.
Jim's he looks like that. A cross between you and Sergio Busquets.
Lucky man.
If you two had a baby, you would give birth to an older man. And that older man would be Andoni Iraola. Uh-huh. Something to think about.
Probably time for a break, isn't it?
What a midfield duo. Before we go for a break, Jim, though, here's some advice for those of you who are listening. While you're waiting for us to come back, head over to footballramblelive.com and get yourself a seat for our one-night-only performance at the London Palladium. It will be our biggest and, damn it all, best live show ever. So you don't want to miss it. Search footballramblelive.com or click the link in the show notes. Right, coming up in the second half, we've got some relegation chat. We've got West Ham getting gubbed, and we've got Ipswich returning to the Premier League. See you in a moment.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi guys, hello Bromley FC. Rod Stewart here, just finished my morning workout. It's raining. Just want to wish you all the well at Wembley. It's all in the mind. play safe. If the corner kicks are not working, take short corner kicks. Are you the manager? No, I'm a supporter. Good luck, lads. We're on our way to Wembley. Please, Donald Tremblay.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Scotland fan Rod Stewart there.
How long has he spoken like that for?
Yeah, I think he's always spoken like that.
He's from the East End, isn't he?
Yeah, I was just confused by all the tartan that he wears. I genuinely forgot he wasn't like didn't have a Scottish accent.
Oh yeah, he's never had a Scottish accent. His father was Scottish, wasn't he?
Right.
But yeah, it was Rod Stewart wishing Bromley FC good luck in the final of the National League playoffs. They beat Solihull Moors on pens at Wembley. Quite spectacularly. It was the captain, wasn't it, Bromley, who have you seen this?
Yeah,
unbelievable. He's taking the final penalty, and if he scores, they'll go into the Football League, right? Which is incredible for Bromley. Absolutely historic stuff. He's wearing the captain's armband, which has a Football League sort of symbol on it, whatever. So he's already saying like we're already up. He's waiting for to take the penalty. And then smiles, like raises both eyebrows as if to say, all right, here we go. And then just slots it in. I mean, it's an amazing moment.
Yeah. What a bet. It sends the keeper the wrong way as well, doesn't it?
Dare I suggest take him to the Euros?
Absolutely.
Yeah. In case it goes to it, get him on the
stop this.
And at the Euros, when he sets up to take the winning penalty, you look at his shirt and he's actually got two stars above the crest. Like, hold on.
I don't think you get a star for a Euros.
No, but he's thinking about the World Cup, isn't he?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Playful update on whether or not you get a star for the Euros.
That's all it. Very good, very good. We should say thanks to Friend of the Ramble, Tom, for sending us that clip, by the way. You can become a Friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. You'll get access to the Discord where you can chat with us and other Ramble listeners, and you can talk about me looking like Premier League manager, specifically that man at Bournemouth. You'll get ad-free episodes of The Ramble up front and on the continent. And by the way, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts and you can see that pause button in the top right-hand corner of your phone, tap it now and switch on automatic downloads. That way, your next episode of The Football Ramble is always ready and waiting for you, like a big, beautiful, warm embrace. Now, back to the Premier League. Sheffield United will be embraced by the Championship next season, Jim. Mm-hmm. Nottingham Forest may not be. They got a big victory, 3-1. And we said on Friday, Vish, that if Forest can win and the others down there lose or don't win with Luton drawing and so on, it'll be a huge weekend for them. And you've got to say, it was.
Yeah. They were probably like the best of themselves, weren't they? They are the kind of team who are very entertaining to watch because it doesn't matter who they come up against. They always play in a specific attacking way, even with Nuno as well, which he thought that they'd lean towards being a bit more defensive. And this was the game where they were like, you are shit. We are quite good.
Yeah.
Also a little bit shit, but we're better than you. We're definitely better than you. And they showed it.
We don't want to be associated with you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we know they've got a shoot on site policy, but like, give it to Callum Hudson-Odoi. I mean, that is, lest we forget, an England international who's played at Chelsea and all the rest of it. He knows what he's doing. A very, very good player. And he's proven. And that, unfortunately, for some of the other sides down there, Forest have a few of these players, like Gibbs-White is obviously another one we often talk about, who are Premier League qualities. No doubt about that. As I say, he's got three international caps. There was a time when you thought he might kick on a bit more. And who knows? He's a young man. He's only 23.
Do you remember how much they signed him for?
I don't.
$3 million.
Blimey. Wow.
$3 million.
And that was a lot in the early 90s.
Well, yeah.
He was very unlucky to not score a hat-trick of essentially the same goal.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've ever seen before. If ever there's a team that are going to let you do that.
Indeed. But these are the moments where, as I say, if it's a bit like when Leeds survived and they had Rafinha.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you've got a player like that. It's like, come on, we need a bit of your quality here. And Hudson-Odoi provided that. I mean, the first goal was beauty.
Yeah.
Absolute beauty. And again, like with respect to Sheffield United, Luton and Burnley, they don't have a player like that. They don't have, they've got some all right ones, but how many Premier League, like bona fide quality Premier League players do those teams have? Whereas Forest, as I say, have a few, and certainly with Hudson-Odoi, he stepped up when they needed it, because, you know, it wasn't a given. This is Sheffield United again, like, created chances, might have had a little bit more on the day, but it was a huge, huge victory.
Yeah.
And also good news for Nottingham Forest is that Mark Clattenburg has resigned from his role as a refereeing consultant.
Yes.
So, are you linking the two?
Yeah, I think so.
You think they've got the
They've got the Clattenburg off their back.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was trying to figure out what the equivalent of new manager bounce like parallel would be, but I don't think there is one.
I just ridiculous.
The no Clattenburg bounce.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Clattenburg's role that was a. It was the first time we'd seen that role, yeah. And hopefully the last time.
Agent of chaos, really.
Totally, yeah.
It?
But I mean, a refereeing consultant to explain to the team and the coaching staff and all why decisions were made. Now, I don't understand why you need that, but okay. Well, that he was appointed in February. He's only been there for a few months. That role has ended with Clattenburg leaving, being given a formal notice by the FA for his part in all the chaos about the decisions. Forest are having a torrid time. They've had their knuckles wrapped and so on. It's just like is that the worst appointment we've seen on a sort of a non-coaching or playing staff kind of role?
I probably can't cast any stones as a United fan, but Jimmy, you can take that one.
Yeah, I don't think
United have ever done anything this ridiculous.
No, but it's so strange.
It's ideal. It's absolutely ideal.
It's miserable.
For us.
Yeah, it is. Well, of course, yeah. In fact, yeah, we want to see more of this, don't we?
Yeah.
It's been such a failure, that appointment. It just unequivocally has.
Never going to succeed because, like, no one ever really knows what it was. But he never had any authority.
Yeah. It's a sheer buffoonery.
Yeah.
Which we've come to expect from Baranakis, haven't we?
You know, the way you explained it at the start, I think part of it was about, you know, talking to the players and the management about why decisions are going a certain way. But ultimately, it was a high-profile person in there to whip up media storms, essentially. Yeah. You know, someone in that position walking through, you know, the mix zone of his, I think it was the first game that he was actually on the books, was an absolute joke because there's nothing that he would say that the manager or the players wouldn't say.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, obviously, you know, Nico Williams got done last week and so did Nuno as well. No, did Nuno get done?
Yeah, I believe, that's right, yeah.
The same thing that Clattenburg was reprimanded for. But it is weirdly more authoritative from them because they've been involved in that process.
But this whole thing is pathetic.
Yeah.
Like it really is. Like this
it's
is
embarrassing.
A,
isn't
it's embarrassing. This is a
embarrassing
history.
Is the right word for it.
This
yeah.
is a storied club who have like big supporters. But this is ridiculous.
It's more embarrassing for him.
He's been a pawn, hasn't he, to essentially take to create this us against them kind of narrative that Marinakis wants of the points deduction. He's been foolish enough to let that happen.
But it makes no sense because the referees will go around the clubs at the start of the season, and if there are some tightening of rules or slight little tweaks and so on, they'll explain. Like it's not needed.
It's all written down for you. Is he just reading the rules out?
Maybe like a particular referee's handwriting is bad. You know, like
back in the day, like certain clergy to uphold their superiority would not like teach everyone else Latin, for example.
Clever.
Do you think he's like no, you wouldn't get this clearing off?
This is law 5B123F.
Yeah, clauses. It's just a waste of my time.
That's 17 pages time. You'll never get there.
Another custard tart, you know. It's fine. Let me get on with it.
But I mean, even Clattenburg himself reached the highest level of refereeing in the Champions League final. Mm. So has had an amazing career as a referee. And then goes off and sort of, you know, went to Saudi, didn't he, and all this. And you sort of think to yourself, look, not that I'm going to defend the man per se, but I suppose, like Mark, if you're listening, defend your own career for crying out loud because you're a very well-respected figure. You don't referee a Champions League final if you're not.
Well, he's on Gladiators now, isn't he? Is he just enjoying being a bit of a celebrity? Well, genuinely?
Fine, do that. Not this. Anyway, he's gone, everybody.
Is he? He's going to go into the jungle soon, isn't
definitely.
He?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And he's not going to win over the public.
He's
going to
bring
be the best
he'll
thing.
Bring his whistle with him.
For those outside the UK, that is a show called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yes, yeah.
And it's far more base than you can imagine.
But just the odd. Well, he's off to the jungle now, isn't he? That's some punishment. That's what we do.
Marinakis is like, right.
It's a new Premier League initiative.
Yeah. There is a predator on the loose. Yeah. I'm just saying.
But don't worry, it's Marinakis. If he's wearing trousers, you'll be able to get away from him
because they fall down in a comic fashion
and trip him up. Speaking of crazy things, Nottingham Forest are awaiting the result of their appeal and could be given 2 points back this week. I'm sure this decision will be made about 5 minutes after we stop recording. But of course, if they were given those points back, then Burnley would be relegated before they play again.
Yeah, Burnley will score a goal and a drone will come onto the pitch. drop a flag revealing points reinstated. It will be done in the most farcical, disrespectful way possible.
It'd be like a gender reveal.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, what does blue mean? EFL.
It is, I mean, to be fair to Burnley, they've given themselves a tiny bit of a chance. They've rallied, but Newcastle in the form they're in, being beaten 4.
They were brilliant.
4-1. Yeah, and now Burnley, 5 points. At the time of recording, shouldn't have to say it at this stage of the season. At the time of recording, they are 5 points below Forest. And, of course, the goal difference is so heavy in Forest's favour that Burnley will need to win. Well, I mean, obviously they would need to win both of their games anyway and hope Forest don't get anything from them. So it's looking incredibly bleak for Burnley. But Newcastle, though, Jim, they're on a great run.
Yeah, they are on a great run. And they just look really sort of at the races again. They had a bit of a blip, didn't they? A quite serious trough, really, for a while. But they're finishing strong. Mm. And that is a skill in itself. And that's a really important thing to get into the culture of a club. And obviously, the project at Newcastle is unique in the league, really, and that their ambitions are massive. Their ambitions are to get themselves a seat at the top table of world football. So I think cultivating a culture where you finish strong is a big part of that.
Should they finish in a Europa Conference League spot, that trophy would surely be theirs to lose, really. And I say that in the spirit of what Andy's been saying, that Premier League clubs have such riches compared to any other club in that tournament. Like the financial disparities we know in the Champions League, but actually it's that particular tournament due to Premier League involvement where it becomes really stark. Mm-hmm. And Andy would often say that about West Ham. He's like, well, so they should be kind of winning or getting very, very far in that tournament. Villa are the same.
Yeah.
Newcastle, I mean, that takes the biscuit, doesn't it?
Well, it's absolutely, but it's the chance to win something with that tournament, isn't it? That's why Villa will be so focused on turning this around in Greece, because obviously, qualifying for the Champions League is massive for them, but the chances of them then going on to win the Champions League are very, very slim. Like them actually getting a European trophy in this run would be absolutely massive, and what an amazing memory. That would be the same for Newcastle, for sure. And obviously that becomes like a sort of, it's a point on the map, isn't it, on their way towards success. Like in the same way we've seen teams come through, like Chelsea did it, City did it, they took the Carabao Cup really seriously, and they won those tournaments a lot. So it'd be a similar sort of thing. But I mean, they've got it within them to qualify for the Europa League, surely.
Well, that's what I was saying in the first half, Jim, that they'll be hot on Spurs' heels. And remarkably, just behind them, 2 points fewer in seventh, are Chelsea. They put West Ham to the sword, 5-0. As I say, just 6 points behind Tottenham Hotspur. I mean, is there a West Ham voucher? You talk about Sheffield United. It seems a bit harsh, but
it's for a limited time only. Yeah,
that's it, isn't it? It's like it's a discount code that just pops up, and you have to be really quick on it. And then
Fulham used
them.
It. Arsenal used it. I mean, it's the fourth time that West Ham have shipped 5 goals this season. It's piss poor.
The fourth goal in particular was the epitome of piss poor. Just like Trevor Chalobah just essentially pinging it down the pitch to see what would happen.
This will probably work.
Just a corridor of opportunity wide open in front of him. The most route one goal you're going to see. Moyes will be fuming at that. But as we've mentioned before in the show, when they have these batterings, Moyes doesn't... You get the impression he doesn't know why it's happening.
Yeah.
Which is damning.
It is damning. And then he says the usual stuff after we've heard him say, well, it didn't look like a team of one of my teams and all this kind of stuff. And
he said this weekend, it's part of it's because, we're missing Declan Rice.
Yeah,
it's just given up, isn't he?
Well, I mean, nearly at the end of the season, it's not like you sold in January.
We've lost Defoe as well.
Yeah. Imagine Postecoglou saying that, obviously if we had Harry Kane up top, we might have got it back against Liverpool. Like, just wouldn't say that, would you?
Yeah.
I just think it's a bit of a shame for Moyes for it to end on a bit of a damp squib.
Yeah, especially there's this whole thing with the director of football and him sort of he's banned him, hasn't he, from the training ground while he's there and stuff. And I understand that. I feel like it's the second time this has happened to Moyes at West Ham, where he's left in a way that doesn't feel.
You
like
should
the
say
most
the sporting director's been banned, not Moyes. That would be quite counterproductive.
It kind of makes sense though. He addressed it at the end of last week, and his reasoning was pretty sound. He said
sense.
If they're looking for, a successor, because he was pretty open about that.
Yeah.
He was like, it doesn't quite feel right for him to be around there while I'm working. So like, that's
completely reasonable.
Yeah, pretty reasonable. Yeah. But he does get like this when things go badly, Moyes.
I mean, it is tricky because, you know, he'll have strong opinions on what's going on. Some people will be feeling sorry for Moyes and be more in the Moyes camp, and others certainly won't be, as we know. But it's very clear now that Moyes will not be managing West Ham.
Yeah.
Got past the end of the season. I think we already knew that for a while, but the reports this morning say that Julian Lopetegui has agreed terms with West Ham. An interesting appointment.
Yeah.
Guy's, you know, pretty good CV, and obviously has managed Wolves in the Premier League. So I think that's not a bad appointment on paper. Mm. We'll obviously have to wait and see how it works out. But I think it's important for West Ham to get the ducks in a row, because, as I say, the last thing they would want, and we're assuming obviously this will happen and it'll all go ahead smoothly, the last thing they want are the weeks and the months to tick by during the summer and Moyes kind of still there.
Yeah.
And so I think they want a clean break now, which looks like that's going to happen.
And it's a real opportunity for someone to kick on with them as well.
Yes.
Because the quality of the players they have there, they've not had it in a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people point to when, you know, they got rid of Moyes before and they tried something different and it didn't quite work. Mm-hmm. Just because it happened once doesn't mean it will happen again. Lopetegui's a proven operator. Bit of Premier League experience as well, which is massive, and will play the type of football that they want to see once he can sort of get it all in place. And I think it's potentially an exciting appointment for them, as long as he sticks around, obviously.
Yeah. I don't think we should pigeonhole him too much about what happened in the World Cup in 2018. But I do feel somewhat sorry for David Moyes, and I hope that in time, when there's enough clear blue water between him and being at West Ham, people then do remember that actually did win them the Europa Conference League.
Oh yeah, there's no danger of that.
I don't think anyone's forgetting that, because
also this season hasn't been terrible. Like, at times they have done well, you know. So I just, which is why I would like them to win. Well, I know you would, Jim, certainly to win the last couple of games, give them a bit of a send off, if you see what I mean, because I think by and large it has been a good time. You have to say, obviously that trophy as well, but also. Like, even though they're still in the top half, and that's not too shabby.
But I suppose they want to reach the next level, and, you know, cards on the table. This is probably the cheaper way to do it.
Yeah, but also he's given them a good run in the Europa League this season as well.
I don't think any of what's about to play out or what he's playing out right now affects any of that, because I think even after the way they, you know, when West Ham won the Conference League, there were legitimate arguments put across that. Put forward rather that this is the perfect time for Moyes to go because it really is, specifically with that squad with Declan Rice in the centre midfield, this is as good as it's going to get, because he's going to go. Uh-huh. And actually, yeah, this season has been better, certainly better than I thought it would be, considering how badly last season in the league went. But I mean, I think it makes sense for everyone. I think he leaves with his reputation intact. Whatever ill feeling there is now will vanish in a month or so when people start thinking about what he achieved. So I think
they still have two games left.
Yeah, true. But I think this is broadly quite a sensible way to do it.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Right then. One team that will be playing West Ham next season is Ipswich Town.
Ipswich.
I think you mean this, Jim.
Supuestamente va a poder estar disponible para el partido de Ipswich.
Me doy por derrotado. What does he say at the end there?
Bielsa will never manage them, will he? He never will.
Yeah, it's just nice to have an excuse to use that again.
I'm
sure that's the tribute Ipswich Town.
Back in the Premier League for the first time since 2002. Back-to-back promotions, everyone's been saying this.
Astonishing.
Phenomenally successful. Kieran McKenna has been since he took over in December 2021. They were 11th in League One when he took over. It has been quite something. He's picked up more points than any other manager in that time in the Football League. 194 points in his last two full seasons. It's stunning.
Yeah.
I know sometimes in football, and it was a bit like, to use the comparison of when Messi and Ronaldo at the top of their game, and we come in again and we, like, you know, we don't often talk about the league, but they both scored, you know, how many goals in the Champions League, and you keep using the same superlatives, and you think, maybe we should. Like, no, you've got to keep saying where credit is due, and it's the same with what Kieran McKenna's done at Ipswich.
It's really exciting because we have no idea what his ceiling is, and I think there's a sense that because of that, people will want to play for him. So they might do pretty well in the loan market if they need to. I'm not really sure what their finances are like, but obviously they'll have a huge boost from
not as bad as they were.
No shit, indeed. So while they're an unknown quantity, they're an incredibly exciting one to sort of look forward to in the Premier League. And obviously, I think that they're basically instantly everyone's second team.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It depends if Norwich go up or not. And I think it is exciting because they spent quite a few quid in League One. You know, they really did show a bit of financial muscle when new owners came in and so on, which is, you know, fair enough. They got out of it. But this season, the Championship, it's been superb. And I don't think anybody can deny them that. I mean, only Vardy and Leicester could beat them in terms of points totals and so on. But wonderful for them. And it's, you just read the reports, it's got the whole town going. Mm. They're selling out their stadium the last couple of years that's been the case, whereas before they hadn't quite done that, which again, understandably. That place will be rocking and intriguing what they'll come up with in the Premier League next season. So good luck to them. Leeds United will be in the playoffs with Southampton, of course. We all knew that was really going to happen after their 4-0 loss against QPR. West Brom and Norwich in there as well. Leeds look bereft of energy and confidence at the moment.
I don't think I've ever seen a team qualify for the playoffs with so much negativity around it.
I mean, it's the old adage, it's always gutting for the team who finished third, but this looks particularly bad. But you've got some huge clubs in there in the playoffs, so we shall see who joins Ipswich and Leicester. It's very exciting, the playoffs.
Always.
Very exciting.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
The business end is just brilliant all round, isn't it? Pretty much everything has got something riding on it.
Especially if you don't have a horse in the race.
Yeah. Well, I have had a horse in the race.
Yeah.
On a couple of occasions have seen Fulham win the playoffs. I've not been there, but one of them was during COVID, that's why. But it's a glorious game to win. It is an awful game to lose. It really is. So good luck to everybody involved. Birmingham City are not going to be involved. They head to League One. Let's put a positive spin on it. Off they go.
The sad Ken of this point of the season.
Yeah.
Horse-wise.
Again, like Birmingham's relegation to the third tier, first time in 20 years.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't have expected that at the start of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot's been made of, obviously, the decision to get rid of John Eustace and bring in Wayne Rooney, which is obviously a factor. But Gary Rowett's been interim boss after Tony Mowbray had some medical issues. And those are really difficult circumstances, really unpredictable. And that is a lot to deal with, even if you've, arguably made an unnecessary change.
Yes. And there's a lot of excitement when, speaking of changes, when Birmingham City were taken over by Wagner and Knighthead in the summer, they had six in the league when they sacked Eustace. And Rooney came in and it just didn't work out. And
20th in 83 days.
Yeah.
From being fifth. Yeah.
Wow.
It's incredible. I would like to give Jay Stansfield a mention, who's on Fulham's books. Despite them going down, he's had a good time, individually. He won players' player, young player, and supporters' player of the season. He was their top scorer, and he even got goal of the season.
Was that him on the pitch at full time?
Yeah. I think
that is their goal of the season.
Yeah, maybe.
We need to reopen the polls.
Yeah, so, from a Fulham point of view, I'm quite happy with what's gone.
Sure, Birmingham fans listening would be ecstatic for you. I was hoping you'd turn it on. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, you're still thinking about the relegation, aren't you guys? But it's a shame because, I mean, with that kind of thing, they stay in the league. You keep a player like that maybe or something. Whereas,
well, I mean, Jim touched on the managerial thing there. They've had six different people in charge of the club this season, if you factor in interim coaches as well and caretakers.
Yeah. Which we do.
Yeah. But they were also in it right to the end. Like, they drew with Rotherham.
Yeah, they won on the last day.
Who draws with Rotherham?
Well.
Yeah. But if they beat Rotherham, they essentially relegated by a point, but essentially two with goal difference over Plymouth Argyle. They did have it.
Yeah.
And that's probably what's excruciating as well. I think the other interesting thing through this is, do you remember when we first spoke about the takeover at the start of the season and we were pretty dismissive of it because of the, I suppose because of the name of the, I think the local kind of hub of the...
That's right, yeah.
The ownership was the Peaky Blinders reference.
Shelby Companies Limited.
That's it, yeah. Tom Brady's involvement as well, who's like, I'm the underdog. He's like, how many Super Bowl rings do you have, mate?
Exactly.
But on like outside of football, someone replied to us and said, I understand why it's easy to laugh at, but actually they have done a lot.
Yeah.
For the city the infrastructure around and stuff like that. They have this idea of building, they've put plans in place to build a new state-of-the-art stadium slash development in the area, which will house all Birmingham's teams and, you know, create about 3,000 jobs or something like that. And I think Birmingham fans are like totally on board with all of that stuff. Yeah. It's just the football stuff they've got totally wrong.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting if you read John Ruddy's quotes going into, well, off the back of their relegation. So he was captain for the last three games. Mm-hmm. Uncertainty as to whether he'll be there next year. Said everyone needs to take responsibility for the relegation, players, you know, management, whoever else. But even within that disappointment, he was like, you know, the owners have clearly got the right idea. Most of us that are here probably won't be here to see that come to fruition, but the plans are in place and the balls have started to roll. And for me, this club will be in the Premier League within 5 years. Now, because he's not sure he's going to be there, he doesn't need to say that, does he?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's evidently a lot of stuff behind the scenes that has been quite impressive. But
the last thing they need is to be languishing League One.
Oh, 100%.
They need to do a bit like Ipswich, you know, again, show a bit of financial muscle, get out of there, back into the Championship, and then which is their standard. You know, I mean, I say the standard, that's where they've been the last 20 years. You know,
that's your advice, is it? Back to back promotions now, actually.
Indeed,
that's the standard, lads.
Take it from me and Ipswich Town fans, you'll enjoy that if that happens.
Yeah,
yeah.
Second place finishes. You're laughing.
I recommend promotions to everybody. You can get them. That's what I do. No, I think that's it. You know, League One, they'll feel like the biggest club in the league there, which, you know, obviously they'd be one of the big boys, but they've got to show that on the pitch as well.
But they need to spend money, because I think also if you look at the number of players,
totally, again, show the
financial, out of contract,
show a bit of financial muscle. I know that sounds pretty grotesque, but get out of that league as soon as possible. And also, what would be nice for the fans is in that league, it can work out like this, that if actually they do romp that league, they'll have a lovely old time, because they'll be winning every week. Doesn't always work out like that, as some fans know, but hopefully for Birmingham.
Well, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work out like that if you know, if they don't truly believe in it. That's what you're saying. Just get better. Just level up. It's basically you say it to the people of Birmingham. Yeah. Level up.
Level up. Get HS2 back on board.
And it's only an hour to London.
And exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you want to cut down times on away trips. You know.
Get HS2 done.
Get your owners to finish that. They're so good. All right, everybody. Thanks very much for listening to the... Sorry about that. Talking of finishing badly. Thanks very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
Just because you're one lost.
unbelievable.
24,000 votes, though, eh?
Join us on Wednesday. And remember, footballramblelive.com is the place to go to get your tickets to see us at the London Palladium. Of course, you should all follow us on X. I think that was called Twitter back in the day. TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And follow us on Spotify. Thanks, Jim.
See ya.
Thanks, Vish.
See you.
Laura, love everybody. See you on Wednesday.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.